Call the meeting to order.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as they're presented to us.
A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
How is that written?
Respectfully submitted, Theodore Barnacle, Commissioner.
Could you sign that then?
Yeah, there it is. I could have read my own copy. Sorry. Thank you very much. Do the warrants next?
Yep, warrants next, Chris. Loop-de-loop there. How's the new old guy doing?
Good.
I didn't see it, Chris.
Sometimes she puts extras in there if nobody's here or anything.
Man, we got lots of money left.
Yes, we do. As you notice, this is the first of the new year.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, there'll be back quite a bit of money put back because of salaries. Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
What's going on, fellas? All right.
water quality going. So far, so good. I did get some manganese back testing. One was right on the threshold. One was a little high. I'm going to retest it. It's not as high as the last time when DEP called me to retest. Last time we did that, we flushed the lines out at the office itself and just took them, at the station, and everything came back non-detect, and I'm not sure if that's just build up on the lines again or something.
Is it the same location?
No. No, it's a different location that hasn't been historically bad, but because we run for the pH sampling and everything else constantly all the time, and we're treating right there, we're pulling in right away, and it could make it come out into suspension a little bit more and stick a little more to the pipes and stuff. So if we do a little bit of high flush, and just even with the drain, just turn it up all the way before we do it, give it one more test. I plan to do that. I'll have a better result for you next month. Into my report, or you want to wait?
We can do yours.
Yeah, there's not a lot on here, so we can go over it pretty quickly. Excuse me. This is a pump report for May of 2015. In 2014, we pumped 19,888,000 gallons of water. In May of 2015, we pumped 30,101,000 gallons of water, for a difference of 10,223,000 gallons. You might notice it's kind of high.
Well, I think so.
Yeah. There's a little bit. I think it's kind of a lot of different events. It was a very, very dry May this year. After we had, that was all the weather there. It was cold, cold, boom, all of a sudden it was hot and everything else. We had some overflow issues going with our tanks while we were doing our flushing. The tanks in this end of town were overflowing while we were flushing the other end of town to get everything done. We didn't notice it right away until the way we had it. We had it with the sand to a tank running everything here, and without messing with the actual levels, we didn't change the summer levels on the tank. It started overflowing. One time it basically overflowed for about 10 hours. Mm-hmm. And, it's not... It's water that's unaccounted for that doesn't show up on anything, so we have to make sure we log that down. And at the end of the year, when the SR comes through, that's quite a bit. We did pump a million more this year just in flushing in May. With the new houses, we're going to go up anyway. So I think it's just a big combination of everything happening at once. I think next year you're going to notice a lot too, because we stopped pumping. Flushing. Last year during June, and this year we should be finishing up pretty soon. So we've been going strong and right through. Not many breaks. We did have a break, but that was back in April. So hopefully we'll see.
A naive question, because sure. I just don't know. Is there such a thing as an overflow alarm? I just don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there is. It didn't work, we'll say, at that point.
Okay.
They have high-level alarms on the tanks, and it's set to go in on a certain... if you set it up for a control intake, it should tell you when it reaches this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's at a high level. The problem was that it was set for the tank that was running everything that was lagging behind. So it wasn't getting into a high level at all. It was the other tanks that were going into high level.
Well, if that alarm's not going to work, let's knock that tank down.
That's not the tank we're going to knock down. No. We're going to leave that tank up. Let's knock a different one down.
that's what you do.
So there might be a couple ways around it. And I'm going to talk to, if I can find an engineering firm to talk to it about, I will at some point. Or maybe just somebody that with a ski that can help me out there a little bit more. I have since then lowered everything down, rose the settings up a little higher so the pumps are coming on a little quicker, running a little, they're coming on more and running less, put it that way. So when they get down to a certain level. We had three new services going in, that went in during the month, all in Catuit Meadows. We had two replacement services. One was a tear down here at the McCourt property that went from an old cottage that was in the wood to a gatehouse. Mm-hmm. And the other was a house on Shell Lane. As I just said, we are still flushing. It does look like that will be done before the limits that we had put down to June 30th that we'd be flushing. It looks like if we don't finish by the end of next week, I'll be surprised.
Okay.
So it won't be, you know, a huge difference, but it sounds like we called it around right.
Good.
McCourt's main has gone in. It has been pressure checked. It has been tested. Everything's good. They don't have any sidelines in right now. There's a little bit of a controversy there. CC wants to put wants to tap it and bring it to 10 feet from the house on all of them. I told them, you know, it's a difficult situation there because it's a private residence and everything else. But each one of them I'm treating like a service. I want a sideline on, and then they have to deal with Bortolotti at that point. Whether Bortolotti comes in, because they're under contract, I can't just let them do it without a note from Bortolotti saying they can. So I told them, I said, no, I'd rather keep it like it's supposed to be, and we're having a meeting on it tomorrow. They want me to meet with their construction people down there. And
so you're talking about putting the curbs up by the house?
Yeah.
As opposed to out on the...
out where the main is, yeah. Wherever it is at this point.
And where do you want it?
I'd rather have it back further because by the way we've always been, we're responsible from the curb stop to the main.
So you want it closer to the main?
Yeah. The hardest part there is that I got to figure out a way and probably have them sign something saying that if anything's hit in there, because it's like so many different things in the ground down there, it's unbelievable. And that's the only reason they were going to put everything, because they kind of know where everything is. So it's kind of a weird situation because each one of the houses also, there's only like four, but those are brand new services that are going in down there. So that's revenue to us. That's an application that comes in. And it's the same way that's stock they buy from us and as we go from there. So I told them, you know, they have to come to me afterwards on that point and when it comes time to do the services, which they seem to be gung-ho and wanting to do them tomorrow. House isn't even built down there. The cow barn that has a chimney that's bigger than my house.
So is there an advantage to put in the service line 10 feet from the house and
no.
for them?
No, but their contract with the company states that they would do that and a plumber would hook it up from outside in. Without, they never came to me.
Yeah, no. We're not worried about their contract.
I'm not worried about their contract either. That's what I said.
I just didn't see why they want to
Other than
have the advantage of us being all the way to the house.
Right. I've kind of allowed that to go on over at 671 Main. Everything's going to come within 5 feet of the house. And then Bortolotti will come in and dig a pit or whatever and put it into the house where it's going to be. Just so they're not losing we're not losing our accounts and everything else. I just, I didn't want to deal with, because it's such a small area, of all the stuff that's going to be in the ground there. And I told, you know, to get beyond everything, everything is so close together in there anyways. You know, you got a driveway with parking on each side. So it's going to be so jammed up in there and everything else. I said, just bring it there so they can dig and no one's going to hit anything, and we'll be fine there.
You don't have any issues with deciding where you want your curb stop?
Yeah. You guys did get the Tater and Howard report last time. We talked about possibly doing a July meeting. I did not approach him on the July meeting because we're still doing stuff with the water permit with him.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to get a date together tonight before we go to. I had a date with him. He told me that they didn't have a problem before coming in July. I'll just confirm it afterwards. So we'll plan on him coming to the next meeting, explaining a little more about that and everything.
That was Patrick O'Neill?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, the only other thing was...
Are you hearing any more from the DEP, Chris, on that withdrawal permit issues?
The order to complete?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did get it. I have I have to respond to them by the 15th of July. Taylor Howe is going to write that paper of response for me. I did join the Barnstable County Water Utilities.
Oh.
I supported them.
So when is their meeting?
They have a letter sent from an attorney, Witten, saying that they want a 120-day extension. They want to wait till a couple different things go on. They didn't think it was right. I just sent a letter behind it and said, you know, I'm in support of their letter to you.
So they're
still
trying to
going
get
through
them
with my own letter and everything else through Pat and everything else. But I still, as part of that organization, am supporting what they're doing. Whether I go that route in the end or not, if DEP comes down and starts hitting people in the wrist, my wrist isn't going to stay there long, put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, I still have to have it in and everything else, and I still have to respond by the 15th. So he's going to come down, he's going to get a little information, and he's going to write it with me anyways.
They have something in the works.
Like I said,
in the works for a meeting. Barnstable County guys have something in the works for a meeting with them. But
what they've done now is just requested a 120-day extension.
That's it.
So that they could get some other, there is a report that's supposed to be turned in after the fact that might be more scientific to it, that might benefit us. A couple different things that are in there, so we're just going to see where it goes after that.
Okay.
The other thing is you guys did ask me to talk to Mark Boudreau at the last meeting about the 10-year limit on leases. He says that it is 10 years. There's a law that states 10 years. Very few people follow it. He says there's a lot of people out there, a lot of municipalities that don't. But there is a law on there, and he tells everybody to follow it.
Is there any problem with once that 10-year lease is finished, another one can be entered into?
He didn't mention. You mean an automatic?
No, just.
There's no problem with entering into another. No,
yeah.
No. He just said that it was. It is the law that's out there. That is the law. It's 10 years, no more than 10 years. But not every municipality follows that law. He's seen other ones out there that don't, because his brother also, I think, does sandwich. He's from Sandwich's lawyer at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But different things. He's reviewed stuff for him and a couple other different things like that, yeah.
That's Phil. He's talking about Finney's Lane, aren't you?
Like with colleges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barnstable Fire District, Tom Rooney.
So it's Tom Rooney, okay. So it's Barnstable Fire District.
Yeah.
They're about the size of us.
Yeah.
He might be the first to call.
I think Erickson was in charge at the time, yeah.
Haven't seen Tom in a couple of months, so he's only a phone call. He's an easy guy to talk to, a nice guy. Yeah. I can give him a call and something. So, yeah, he's moving more in that direction. He wanted to get a little more.
I didn't realize. I thought that was all town of hospital.
No, there's a good article in the paper about it. I'll see if I can find more of it.
Boudreaux did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a couple of comments on it. I have some comments from Rick on the back. I'm kind of going to go through with all of them and try to make something out of them that's a little better than what we have. They're trying to decrease it from 5% to 3% on our current pay. They don't even have the right figures down that we will get paid. He says here, it's 180 days for expiration. Some of the stuff's fine. They did remove the 10-year lease, even though they commits a 1 year. Anyway, he seems to have less questions than Rick did, I'll tell you the truth. I have all Rick's notes in the file.
Right.
Shop. And what I'll do is I'll either get together with my comment and say, listen, this is what we have. This is what we got here. And then we can get together with this guy. Write him a little letter saying this is what we want.
Do they make does AT&T make the changes in the contract themselves? They send it to you, corrected?
They have a company that does all the renewals. Mm-hmm. He kept saying this is going to be no good, you guys are going to do it. So we said, okay, send us the stuff, we'll look at it. I gave it to you guys and Rick gave it back to me. I sent it back to him. I said, send me a hard copy with this guy's name on it and we'll go from there, change this, and this. And they sent me the stuff. Everything was a little different. I said, let me just give it to Rick. Mark seems to think that it's August. It's to be term of lease from August 4th to August 4th. Rick said it was May to May. And the guy said it was May to May. So I don't know really which one it is. I have to look at it again. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just got this forecast form that I didn't cover off and look at it. So I have to do a little more investigating on this. And hopefully by next month, I'll have something that you guys can sign on.
Okay. All right. Nice job, Chris. All right, Mr. Kleekamp.
Okay, what's up? You want us to come up there or sit here?
You can slide up. You can come up here. Should not work in that good.
You're right on time, Mr. Kleekamp. It's 5:30 on the dot.
We're running a sharp ship here. That one's on. This one's on.
Let me go around and do some introductions here. With me tonight, Mark Rainville. He's our newly appointed office manager. He is succeeding Mr. Hall, who is entering his preliminary stages of retirement. So Mark's one of the senior engineers in the office. He's the office manager, in essence, my direct supervisor. So he has a lot of experience, or more experience than I do, with the fiber optics. I know that's it'd be a topic of discussion tonight. So, Mark, just so you know, Chris Wiseman is the Kituat Water Superintendent. He's who I deal with on mostly a day-to-day basis for all the projects and discussions going on. Commissioner Donald Campbell has been with the board for a year now? 2 years now? Has it really been that long? Wow.
2 years.
And is it are congratulations in order for our chairman?
I mean, it's under new business.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hold off on that for right now. But Commissioner Ted Barnacle is the other water commissioner. Now, is there a third member who?
Yeah, he's right there.
Right. I think he might have just pulled up. Somebody just did. All right. Well,
okay.
We'll see him hook slide in here in a second.
Okay. Well, I did, Chris, you had asked for three copies of the agreement for the tank, the construction phase services.
Just to make sure, I think I had gone through, yes, when it's time. I did send everybody their copy. Vic was going to review it, he said to me, so he had a little knowledge on it.
Sure.
At the meeting here.
Okay. So the discussion tonight with the fiber optics, I brought Mark up to speed earlier today, and I'm not going to go into great detail. Obviously, it's been a long time dealing with Open Cape and certain frustrations. So as I have been talking with Mark about this, GHD recently completed an assignment for the town of Chatham where several municipal buildings requested security via fiber optic. And it was a very... it's an ongoing project. They just had the kickoff meeting the other day, and they did some... you know, detailed design build for the installation of these fiber optic security cameras. The more I talked to Mark, the more it sounded like something of interest because there's a lot of different approaches for this. It's not just putting cameras, putting fiber, and let's look at the TV screen. There's some nuances to it. That project should be completed in about a month. So I would like to, we can have a discussion tonight about what your expectations are, what you're looking to do. I would like to have, you know, Chris and any other one of the interested parties come up and take a look after they have installed with the cameras, what they're capable of doing, how the setup is, and then that can really help judge, help Katuit figure out what it is ultimately they want. I believe, is Chatham the first municipality with the up-and-running fiber optic security? I know some other municipalities put in fiber. I think there's a few, like, libraries that have the broadband, the fiber-based, but not for security purposes. So I want to say Chatham is probably one of the first ones on the Cape. So it would be a good one to go up and get an idea of what's going on. But with that, I'll turn it over to Mark here momentarily and let him go into detail about what we did for Chatham.
So just so you know, my background is water wastewater, so I'm not going to talk to you about pixels and gigabytes. It's going to be more the process that we went through. We actually started in Chatham doing some work at the wastewater treatment facility, and we were going to put a security system in at the wastewater facility. And as we did a preliminary design there, our main contact, Bob Duncanson, who's Director of Health and Environment, said, hey, there's other stuff going on in town, and we want to make sure we're consistent with it. What happened is the community center in Chatham had an incident, and I think it was a fight that broke out. And someone came, an attorney came to them about a week and a half after the fight and said, give me a copy of the tape, and it had already been written over. I mean, what happens even nowadays is you record what happens, and then it just records over it, okay? So they also found out that the clarity of the cameras they had was not very good, okay?
And that was the existing cameras, at the, and that was, what right. system was that? What setup was that?
It's an analog, it's called an analog Tyco. Tyco was the supplier of it, but it was an old analog camera. Mm-hmm. Now there are digital cameras available, you know, to, that's the state of the art at this point. So, so Chatham said, hey, they have a need, and we're finding out others have a need. So the similarity, I think, between Chatham and what you have is multiple sites, okay? So we started out looking at one confined site. And then they said, hey, look at all these other sites. We have the harbor master who has needs. We have the community center. We have the town hall. So all these, you know, segmented sites that wanted some consistency. So they said, hey, do a town-wide evaluation and see what suits us best so we can build towards that. Coupled with that, we had the community center and the treatment plant that had fixed budgets. None of the other departments had anything allocated yet. But, you know, they wanted us to keep in mind we have money, a certain amount of money associated with these two sites. So come up with a solution that works for those two sites and, you know, builds towards the future. Okay. So something that I want to point out, too, is that the town is working their way towards having all of their sites connected via fiber. They are not yet. There's maybe about half of them that are interconnected. So the community center and the town hall, for example, are connected. The treatment plant is very remote. They are not connected. All right, and that's important as I go on through this. So we had to come up with a way that these sites could either function with each other if they were connected via fiber, or as a standalone site if they weren't yet connected to fiber, but they could later be connected once the fiber is run. Okay, so it's a kind of a system that would grow into one cohesive unit in the future. So we did our evaluation and came up with a system that would work in pieces, if you will. And one of the key points that we found is that basically any equipment that you would need is available through entities on the state bid list. And that's important because you can kind of go through this in a design build manner rather than a design bid build, and you know, so that kind of makes things a lot cheaper, I think. Okay.
You don't have to pay the engineers money to come up with the plans.
Right. You know. So what we've been doing is we contacted three different entities off of the state bid list, and we've been working directly with them, soliciting costs and recommendations, and talk to the town about what are their expectations, and work with these suppliers. And with the town, we came up with an entity on the state bid list that we all felt was the right way to go. And so we're working now with that entity to, you know, the town entered into a contract, and we're overseeing the equipment as it gets installed. It's not like a regular project where, you know, we could say, nope, the drawings say you have to do this here. It's a little bit looser, okay, because it's design build. But, again, I think in the end it's going to work out, you know, very well for them. One of the things that we did at each of the sites, at least the two sites that had money, allocated right now, is to find out where they wanted to put cameras and what types of cameras they would need. There's probably more cameras than I could even describe to you right now, but, you know, there's some very standard cameras that you would see in, you know, kind of office spaces, and there are very sophisticated cameras that you get. For example, the Harbor Master had a need to see out at some of the inlets that they have to see, you know, if someone fell overboard or something. So, you know, they were looking at very simple to very complicated stuff. You also have cameras that are called pan, tilt, zoom. You can move the camera and have it look around in a wide, you know, wide area. So, and then the other piece that we looked at is how much storage capacity they would need. How much, you know, do you want 2 weeks? Do you want 30 days? The standard in the industry now is 30 days as opposed to the 7 that the community center in Chatham had. So right now what we're doing is they're putting in cameras at the wastewater treatment facility. There's about 11 going in there, and they're going to have a standalone storage device and a viewing station. And it can't be yet connected into the rest of the town because they're not connected via fiber. But then the community center is going to have a similar setup, and as they add the town hall, they'll connect that to the community center viewing station, so everything could be viewed from that station. So they're looking at the treatment facility and the community center as kind of being the two central locations for storage in the future. There's a lot of different things that come into play. Russ has mentioned a couple of things that you guys have been, you know, thinking about or considering with this, and let me mention a couple of miscellaneous things about surveillance. And the way it's typically done now is the cameras that are provided are motion sensitive. Most of them are. Okay, so you fix them on a spot, and if they detect any kind of motion, they start recording. Okay. Exactly. All right. That's key. So if you look at you'll see bits of storage, but over the course of the day, if you're out in the woods, you're not going to see a whole lot. And another thing that you can do is if you're focused in on a certain area, and there are trees, you can block out those trees so that it's not detecting extraneous motion. You're only going to be detecting motion where you want to detect the motion. So that's another key. You can also set these systems up such that if they detect motion, you can get a text message. So if you're putting this in an area that you don't expect to see any kind of motion, you can set it up to get a text. if you're going to see a lot of motion that you don't mind, like it's focused in on a street, you know, then you don't want to get a text message for that kind of stuff. But so there's a lot of flexibility for remote sites, if you will, especially if you don't have fiber connections to get notifications sent to you. And so I think there's a lot of good options, especially if you don't have fiber already. You know, you can use cable to provide cable connections to provide, you know, the interconnections. It's not going to be suitable for constant video, you know, transmission, but perhaps for pockets of videos to transfer. So so I think there's been a lot of advances over the years, and I think there's a lot of ways you can make it work within a budget and maybe work towards fiber optic connections throughout, and you know. So
is this a closed circuit just that they're putting up on their own, or is this something that they need to carry a core or anything?
They don't need. No, that's a good question. They do not need a carrier. This is all internal to the town. The carrier or the provider that we selected is one who doesn't require a service plan. Some do, like Tyco does. If you get Tyco, Tyco's going to say, all right, 10% of my system per year you're going to pay me, and that's service whether you need it or not. We selected a provider that doesn't have that kind of requirement. So, yeah.
Because right now we go from a point of we have security out there, runs through our current SCADA system. We don't know what it is. You know, we can have motion and microwave at different points, but if this goes off, we have to physically go down and see what it is and why it's happening.
Yep.
But it's free. It's through our SCADA system and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm looking at, what got me a little bit more is this monthly service fee, like, you know, like people pay to Comcast or something like that. And that was one of the things somebody asked me if we would talk to Comcast at all, where they were going to teach every single station as like it was a cable box.
Yeah.
And you were going to get charged $90, and it ended up being a ridiculous amount of money. I like the free a lot better than the monthly charges, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
So if you know, let's look at an instance where you don't need constant, like you're probably not going to have someone sitting in front of this screen, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a wireless a radio connection, right, to each of your sites, you could transmit a text message or an email via that method. Each of your locations would need a storage method, and it's not all that expensive to put in these storage devices. I'm going to say we're talking maybe $5,000 to $7,000 or so for those standalone devices, and then you add the cameras on top of that. Okay, but you know that's a lot cheaper to put that standalone system in there than to run fiber to each of those locations. If you want to build towards that in the future, you could. But, you know, those are options that are available. And if you just need to know something's happening, you could get that message, and you'd have to go down and check it, you know, in the system that you have. There's a possibility you could transmit some of that stuff over the radio. I'm not sure about that. We haven't explored that, but...
I think was that the basis of the previous, what the work that Western and Sampson did, the radio...
Right.
Set up there.
It was original, yeah. We would think with the cameras it'd be much, you wouldn't get as clear a picture through radio or anything like that. But the SCADA unit that we have, we decided it's really better to have it on radio than something that's shared.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, we just want to make sure that it's not shared, something to be put into a hacked into or this and that.
Do you have a constant messaging back with your radio system? You do. Okay, so it's always in use. I think it would depend on how much of the bandwidth you're using, you know, with that. And that doesn't mean you have to be transmitting video constantly. You could just transmit video back when you need to transmit it. So that could be looked at. So, I guess the point that I wanted to try and make is that there's... You know, rather than going through a design, you know, bid kind of situation, you could just do a, you know, what we did, we work with them to find out what they needed and then work with a supplier to kind of match your needs to that. So, and, you know, over the course of the summer, we should have at least one or two.
I just wanted to, you know, introduce Mark tonight and, share some of our experiences with Chatham. So, let's schedule that. Once that's up and running, Chris, we'll
And I still have a
No, that's
surprising.
I like the idea that we could get something started with this and build on to it in a later day,
yeah.
too, that you don't feel like we don't feel like we're under the gun to get this thing all produced at one specific time. We do have some money set aside for it, and I think it's important that we move forward with the cameras. And I've been the advocate of the fiber optics. I kind of feel like a bum that we've gone through this thing for 2 years and haven't been able to get the numbskulls from
OpenCape.
I mean, that's been totally ridiculous. They've moved more walnut shells around on us and asked us to find the key so many times. We can't keep with them believing in them. I would imagine that that bodes well for Rick's first thought process on it to begin with anyways. And from day one, he just wasn't in. They couldn't get him into OpenCape at all from day one, and that's been going on a long time. Well, thanks.
Thanks so much, Mark,
for coming out.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, nice meeting you.
You giving us some time. We're
definitely
going to move forward.
Did we have anything else you want us to stick around for? Or just
you know, I don't know what the tank construction proposal, if there's any questions you had.
Mark, I got the explosives tied to the legs of the other one to take
it down. The tank is going to be done fast.
If there was any questions on what we sent out, be nice to, if you had anything on it. I don't know if he had any questions on it.
Yeah, if you want to read.
I'd really like to get it going as quick as we can.
So would we.
I think this is the time to get going.
In terms of the fiber optics, in terms of the security. Sorry about that. Lost you.
I already put a check besides fiber optics.
We're done. Let me do that now too.
Okay.
So John, has this been assigned officially yet?
I don't think so.
I have three copies here for signatures.
The only thing I put on the signature line, Chairman, Ted Barnacle, so I don't know if that's
maybe 15 minutes premature.
Okay.
You know what? Leave these with me.
Okay.
If you want to call me tomorrow, or I'll call you in the morning,
sure.
I'll tell you how we go. Before you leave, also, sorry to keep you here. I haven't done this in a while, but do you guys remember the solar project? We didn't really talk too much about the solar project and everything. I had sent some stuff out on it with the overview, and there was a task to look at. I just didn't know if there was any questions on the solar. You might want to throw it less because he was here at the time. Any compliments? Anything on it. If not, he can go and we can go from there.
Yeah, that was the one I wrote up for when I was with Green Seal.
Yeah,
so aren't we going back over to Green Seal?
That will be a Green Seal job.
Yeah.
We work with them on, we're still working with them on a bunch of other projects.
Yeah,
and they had asked if, but you know, it's not a super time sensitive. It does have an ultimate deadline. If there's discussion on it, I think they are.
Yeah, he
said that we needed to do something.
He wanted to put out for.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where it gets real confusing to me. Hold on.
Request for qualifications.
Yes. Okay. It's an RFQ.
Correct.
So there's too many initials going on. But that was in this year. Yeah. The RFQ response to the RFI.
GSDIP.
So it's just,
R as opposed to the RFS.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just, I don't want it to draw. I know Rick was looking at it quite a bit and everything, and because he's not, I was going to try to get something this to Vic to look at and to get going on, too, because it's another thing I think that's kind of a little time sensitive.
It is.
Everyday people are jumping on it.
It's potentially a great opportunity.
You got copies of that with you, Chris?
It's just the draft copies that were sent out. Yeah.
In our emails.
I have emailed this out once. I'll do it again.
I don't think I have Vic's email. I was hoping to get it tonight. Yeah. No, I do have it. I'm sorry, I do. Okay. And I will send him that also. Okay. But if you want anything on it, I did have something.
Okay, well, I'll take it.
Okay.
In my memory of the discussion we had is this is something we want to do. I was just not really clear on an outline of the steps that we need to take in a certain order. So we don't either do it wrong or we wait too long or whatever it is. I just want to make sure we go.
Sure.
If there's any question, I don't want to speak to Ted or anyone else.
No,
Yes.
Correct. And that's part of the approach with the solar is that at the time, Green Seal, they do solar development. This particular site they were not interested in, but they have some very capable solar-related people that can manage and review RFQs, request for qualifications. There's been numerous municipalities that put out solar bids that tend to get unhinged very quickly because the selected respondent either has false information in the proposal, their funding dries up. Solar is... It's a very fast-moving thing that came about out of nowhere. A lot of people are jumping on board to try to, you know, make a profit off it, and you can. And there's a lot of good providers out there, but there's a lot of other entities that have started up to try to really quickly grasp onto this. So basically, Green Seal would be reviewing the approaches set forth in the request for qualifications. We're just asking for their statement, their approach, their strategy, basically seeing who's the most creative and qualified. Then we'll sit down and negotiate price, you know, agreements, how much, all that sort of stuff after the fact. And through that process, we would review their approach. There are certain permits, applications, you know, work permits through NSTAR. You have to see how much remaining capacity is on the lines. There are certain regulatory steps that you have to take with solar. And also your approach, like we talked about, if you go over what the capacity is for the department, you have to get on this managed growth system, which is almost like a waiting list, because you can't just build 200 acres of solar and make all this money. And you can only do, I think it was 67% of what your site generate. So, absolutely, there is a defined process to this, and that's one of the things Green Seal would do is review that process that's submitted.
So we build something that's the right size for what our needs are.
Exactly. And that's one of the things, you know, the first thing any solar guy is going to ask is we need to see power bills. We already had, Green Seal has that information, so that would be included in part of the RFP. It's going to cut down that step. So they can give you a more defined expectation of what you can see versus someone says, I'm interested in solar, what are you going to get for me?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you get all sorts of stuff submitted back. I think, you know, it's short money for potentially a very beneficial project out there. And other water departments are doing it. I would like to, Chris, if Katua does move forward with it, have a discussion with the Barnstable Fire District just to see if that was a 10 and they just ignored that clause for whatever reason, or if it was a 20, just, you know, how they put
it out.
How
they got around it,
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, or the money maybe that what you gained in
and that would affect the first 10-year lease because they want to get their investment back.
Sure. You know, you see too many of these systems going up on specifically on water department land for water departments. You know, I'm not convinced yet that that's gonna, you know, wipe out the going for this. I need to get a little more concrete evidence of that. So.
Well, there's certainly enough of them out there right now on these Bourne Fire District and
Barnstable.
Yeah, they're going on landfills now. You see them virtually every landfill. So there's.
I mean, I think the one down at Bourne is about the same size that we'd be working with anyway.
It's 8 acres, though.
Oh, it's 8 acres?
That's okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. But it's a decent sized field.
Thank you. Are you guys all here to see us?
No, we don't have to be. You did a big job.
I was thinking there was some complaints coming. We'll move fast.
pepperoni pizza.
You guys are going to kick us off on time slot?
I will say this, even though we kept Rick as the chairman for quite some time over the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years, each time that I came up during the other 13 years, 14, however many were in here, I did do it twice, yep, the chairmanship, and it's important that everybody take a shit whack at it, yep, so when you finally get to the point where you're going to do this.
So there's a motion.
Table that to the next meeting.
Make a motion. I need to know the next meeting before you do that.
Say for the record, I may be in a new position where I work, where I will not be able to. I'm at work from 7 to 5 p.m.
Okay.
So a 5 o'clock meeting will not, I will be late.
Okay.
6 o'clock will be
6 p.m. Okay. Is that a problem?
It's not a problem. No, it's
okay.
Just got a call me and make sure you get me off the phone.
Early.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, I'm good with 6, that's fine.
Are you available now? We currently have a conflict.
The third Thursday?
We've always done the third Thursday.
Don't you meet at the water department most of the time?
No, they made us move.
Yeah, we've been meeting here for about 2 years now because of handicap accessibility.
Do you know where the water commission is?
do we have a problem with meeting on the 23rd of next week?
The 4th is the 5th.
The 4th Thursday is the 23rd.
Isn't usually the production committee's meeting is the first of the 4th?
Yeah,
the first one is why we third Thursday. So it has to be before that.
So you guys got to meet the third week.
Unless you guys want to change it to a different day.
Well, the only suggestion I would make until we get it straightened out is if we want to meet on Wednesday or Tuesday or any other day that week, so it's not a conflict and then we can figure it out without getting it done right now.
Okay. We can do that if you guys want to figure something like that out. We all coexist and everything else. We'll just make it a different day. We'll meet one day, you guys meet the next or something like that. You guys have a set of date? Is that one on you, or?
Well, it depends on the file access.
What is it? Okay. We'll make it right now for, if you want to make it for the Thursday like normal, like we usually do.
That's 6?
Yeah. Okay. We'll do that, and then we'll go, I'll keep the bylaws over the, I thought it was either Tuesday. That's what I think that. So I'll look and see.
You can change it from here to see that.
Yeah.
I got the bottom line.
Okay.
Well, that's the only thing that's changed. I mean, we could make it the second Thursday. I mean, as long as we're before we're supposed to.
We've been flexible according to all of our schedules, but sometimes one of us couldn't make it, so we would adjust the day of the week.
We have done that.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you just seem to want to make it before the production committee meeting.
Yeah, just as long as it was advanced notice for the notification purposes.
Yeah.
And that's all our real consideration.
Okay, so you want to go for the second Thursday for right now? Is that not enough time?
That's fine with me. I don't care. That just makes it a little closer to the abilities and stuff like that, but it doesn't matter. You want to do
I said thank you. I got something in my phone. Sorry about that.
So when are we over there?
Can you do that?
14th?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday the 14th?
Yes.
All right, let's do Tuesday the 14th. Tuesday, July the 14th at 6 o'clock.
All right, I'll make sure. Right. I'll check with Mr. Sadley or Mr. Parks just to make sure that nobody's here.
Right.
But tentatively we'll put down there and we'll go from there.
Okay. And we might just change to that third Tuesday.
Okay.
I've got a second Tuesday meeting on top of another committee. On the second Tuesday.
All right.
We're good?
We've got to hurry up for a bit.
Make a motion. What? Here, second. All's in favor?
See some more of that.
Yes. One of these isn't working. You have to record yours?
Yep.